This podcast is a Bendigedig Media production.
Hello, I'm Michael Sheen, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast. Episode 208 of a Touchline Rant podcast. When we brought in our new co-host, what I liked about it was the way that we could shift and change voices on this podcast. We've got a new set of voices for you tonight. Firstly, Nathan, how are you? Come in.
Not too bad, yourself?
You, very well, mate. Very well. Nathan this week is BBC produced. So that's exciting for you.
This week I've sorted my audio out.
Yeah. We're also welcoming back Cassie. It's proper lush to have you back.
Like Heung-min Son, I'm back and I'm better than ever.
Yeah. Oh, Heung-min Son. Oh. He destroyed my fantasy football hopes this week. He did. Oh, man.
And United destroyed the rest of the hope. So,
oh, I just did everything. I've got literally nothing left now. I'm going to resort to sleeping in the car park at Old Trafford with my hands out in a begging motion. Just get anything. Give me anything. Any scrap of joy I will take. Let's stay in Manchester then, but let's start with the blue half of Manchester. Manchester City versus Liverpool is one of the best games that I've seen all season. It was astonishingly good football. I'll say my controversial bit out front. I always used to call this the terrorist game because I always used to say the only good outcome as a United fan was a terrorist attack. When Man City play Liverpool.
Oh, God.
Everyone, oh, what would be a good result for you? You know. but it was great. You sat back and I just enjoyed it. Did you both watch the game? Nathan, did you watch the game?
No.
Sunday morning. Oh, yeah, one job, Nathan.
You're on a football podcast, Nathan.
I know, but I've also got two little humans that like take up a lot of time
right,
and effort. Just, so
in that's what cupboards are for, Nathan. Oh.
Look, you've watched Harry Potter, you like it. Get under the tent.
Buy a hutch or something, they'll be fine.
Yeah. I've seen highlights and I've seen bits of it. I didn't manage to get the full 90 in, but I had some bits.
Fine. Cassie, did you watch the game?
I was a good host. I watched the entire game, Luke.
What a game. We'll start with you then.
I get back in my box and just sit here for 5 minutes.
Yeah, you just sit there and stay quiet. Okay. Yeah. No, it was fantastic, wasn't it?
It was amazing.
Yeah, brilliant football on show. Unbelievable standards, probably one of the fixtures of the season. Although, apparently not the most watched game this season.
No.
That goes to United getting spanked 5-0 back in October.
We're not even...
Of course it does.
The doom section of this podcast hasn't started yet. That's twice brought up United.
back to the boys in blue. No, it was brilliant. The one thing I will say, some questionable defence on both teams. And for me, let's talk that Sterling VAR decision.
Because it's literally where I wanted to go.
I can't see it. Am I missing something? I can't see it.
For me, the purpose of VAR was to make those errors of judgment by the officials. And those calls where it's a clear mistake.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Correct them. That's when they do that, that's brilliant. That's amazing. That's what you need. When they're drawing a line, and even with the picture that I've seen him in, I'm like, is he offside?
Exactly.
His feet are nowhere near that line. It's his shoulder.
It's a game of inches, as it is. You're like, you look, especially in a game like that, the plays is so fast. It's is so high intensity, and then you're going to blow him up for that. Then you're going to, like you said, you're going to use VAR to penalise something that I cannot see it.
No,
I really cannot see it.
It's so wrong. Fine, it doesn't matter. Even if it was a United game, and let's face it, we're going to be losing these games. This is what happens now. We turn up, we lose football matches. That's what we do. That's our thing. So the next game that we turn up and lose, if a close VAR decision, that close, is the difference between a 1-0 loss or a 2-0 loss, I'll just take the 2-0 because I don't care. It's a small margin. No one cares. Like, no one cares at all. Nate, have you seen the decision? Have you seen the picture?
Yes. I see that bit.
Is it good? This is the bit. Is that a harsh decision for you? Or is it just a case of then the rules, a part of him was offside?
No, I'm with you and Cassie. It's a ridiculous decision to make of a shoulder being the deciding, well, a sliver of a shoulder being the deciding factor in it. It's like you said, and I'll echo the point, it's VAR's there to make something, like correct a wrong decision. And that wasn't, you know, it's like you said, you blow it up, you bring it back, you look at it, and it's like, well, there's got to be an element of the advantage has to go to an attacker in that situation.
Yeah, because I agree. Definitely. Especially when it's something like that, because I think you could have looked at that from so many different angles as well. And depending on which angle you've got the camera at, that shoulder's not offside.
Yeah.
So it's, if it gets to that point, it's like, why? What are we doing here, guys? Like you said, give the advantage.
And the angles are never dead across the line. There's always slight left, right. You're never perfect. It's getting to the point where you need, you know, the cameras they have on the side of like horse racing tracks that just on the line, like 100-meter sprint, just panning down. You need those because that's the only way you're going to get.
That's
anything.
Literally what they need. They need they need full camera system around, so that we can see dead on. That's what it's going to get out all these mistakes. And to be honest, I don't give a shit that much. Do you know what I mean? I don't give a shit that much about.
No one does. That's the point, isn't it? No one does. But they're trying to make it this thing of like, we need to get every single one within an inch of its life. No one, no football fan gives a shit that much.
No.
We just want to watch the game we played.
And some of the best moments over the years have come from errors, and we just become, you know, we love them. Yeah. I'm sure there's not a person on this podcast that would disagree, but that Maradona's hand of God. None of us have got a problem with that.
I've got a problem with it.
See, we're unanimous. No. I don't know why I decided to go so close to Madonna then.
I know.
Yeah.
It could have gone sideways very quickly.
You so nearly took us off there really quickly.
The other thing which has come out of this game, apart from that ridiculous decision that we're all agreed on, the other thing which I've seen a little bit of and I don't get. So you've seen the pictures of like Guardiola and Trent on the side of the pitch, and they're obviously messing around. De Bruyne and Van Dijk were chatting at full time. You know, the Klopp and Guardiola on the touchline, they were quite friendly. And I've seen a lot of criticism of this. I don't get that personally. Yeah. I think it's quite nice. It's a purely sporting fixture where both of these teams are at the top of their level, and it's just, right, let's see who's the best. There's no angry rivalry there.
It depends who you ask, doesn't it? Because it's all over Twitter, like just before that, after it, all I've seen is, oh, it's the biggest rivalry in like Premier League history, City Limb. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It is not. It is... Over the last 2-3 seasons, like you said, it's the games of the two best teams, but it is not a rivalry.
No, I mean, what I think we're getting is nowhere near. You're like United, Arsenal, Spurs, United, Liverpool for a start. Liverpool, it's just these are bigger rivalries. What's interesting about it as well is that mainly that seems to be coming from Sky and from media outlets.
Yeah,
it's like they're trying to get it to a level to create an event. So like stuff like the UFC can, WWE can, boxing can, they create an event. You know, so it's, they're trying to turn this into Tyson Fury versus, you know, Anthony Joshua, or Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. It's these two. Absolutely. And it's just a selling technique. And it's just like, it's ridiculous. Like, they're just really good at what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's literally...
I think you're right. There's no venom between the two teams. Like, there's not, like you said, it's no United Liverpool, it's no Spurs Arsenal. Those teams, they people are baying for blood. Like, there's no handshaking on the side. Like, City Liverpool is City Liverpool. They've played each other so flipping often the last couple of weeks. Like, they're all best mates practically at this point.
All the time. It was the same as Liverpool versus Chelsea for a while, like a few years ago now, but they kept playing each other in Champions League.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, this whole rivalry thing is ludicrous. But yeah, I've seen a lot of people say, football shouldn't be like this. Blah, blah, blah. Like, it's definitely something Roy Keane would have hated. I don't know what Roy Keane's thoughts were on it, but he's not going to have liked seeing the managers hugging on the touchline whilst the game's going on.
We need to find a clip of his take on that, because, yeah, I can just imagine it was a lot of expletives and a very red face.
And who it involves. Like, he hates those two clubs more than any. And, you know, God love Roy Keane. God love Roy Keane. Roy Keane was captain of Manchester United.
Oh, that is a seamless transition.
There you go.
Well done.
There you go. I am a pro. Right. I'm trying to work in to how we could talk United without it sounding like I'm just a really miserable United fan, but I'm just a really miserable United fan. Like, I gain no enjoyment from that football club anymore. Yeah. Even Scott McTominay's not playing, and he was my last resort.
Do you want to take a minute to yourself, and we'll talk, me and Nate will talk about United, and yes, you can
just... I don't know, I'm with Luke. It is. Like, I was at a birthday party that the boys were invited to, so I thought, right, they're having fun on the bouncy castle, stream the game. So, like, bang, got the game on, watching the game. And even before the goal went in, I there was nothing there. It was just there because the two little psychopaths were taking care of themselves. You know, they were off. Just like that.
Yeah.
I said before the game, this is going to be Everton's, like, 3 points. This will be the game that keeps them up.
Oh, it's and the story that wrote itself.
It was their 3 points. It's the game that keeps them up. It was everything I expected it to be. Another pointless performance, nothing happening. And like you said, just no enjoyment.
There's nothing there. There's nothing. Something.
Like, I don't expect us to win every week. I don't expect that.
I mean, 1 week would be nice.
But 1 week would be nice, yeah. Just occasionally, you know.
Just once. I'll take once. It's April now. We haven't got long until it's the end of the season. I can get my hopes back up again when we sign someone for a ludicrous amount of money. It's fine.
But I'm at the point now that we've got nothing to play for now. We know that a lot of that squad is off in the summer. Let's be honest. You know, I would just now go, right, under-21s, crack on.
Yeah,
I'd just blood them now. I'd just get them in, give them a run out. They've got something to play for, and like Pogba, probably Ronaldo in fairness, Cavani, Mata.
Yeah, you know, it's an aging squad, and it's the end of a cycle. The cycle is just miserable.
That's what they look like as well. That's what the squad looked like. It's like, I think Teddy Sheringham did a really good interview on, I think, Talk Sport. And he was kind of saying, like, it's like they know they've got another manager coming in. And they're all going, do you know what? What's the point for playing for this one? Because I'll have another one soon. And
it's
kind of the same as what you're saying. It's like the players know. They're just like, well, why bother, lads? You know, nothing to play for. I think they know they're not going to get top four. I mean, you said it the other day, Luke, didn't you? You didn't think they were going to get it. They don't look like they want it.
I just don't think they care. I think a lot of these players are now thinking of, are they going to be at United next season? Where will they be? And it's a World Cup year. So they'll come in, new manager, new ideas. They'll want to kick the season on early, get some decent results, get back into the national sides, go off with England or France or wherever and come back and then just ride out till the summer.
Yeah.
Like it's to be fair though, to some of them, to be honest, in a way, I can't really blame a lot of those players because you know that Ralph Rangnick, he's asking them to do a lot because of the style of football that he likes to play.
Yeah.
And they're not doing that for him. But they're looking at it and just being like, well, I'm not going to put all that effort in knowing that you're going to be gone in a couple of months. You know, we'll just carry on. I wouldn't necessarily be running into the ground for Ralph Rangnick right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, when I left like my last job and came across to like my new one, 2 weeks notice, I did nothing.
Yeah. No.
Like, you know, it was 2 weeks. I just went, what are you going to do? You know, so
to be fair,
I can understand
I'd like to give them that excuse, but Harry Maguire and Luke Shaw, it's like they're still hungover from the Euros. And that was nearly a year ago.
Oh.
It's like they've never come back. Like, you're right, boys.
Yeah.
They're still out. Do you know what I think is interesting about... There's loads of different issues with the United squad. I don't think the issue is manager. I mean, albeit we need them.
There's much bigger issues than that.
It's because under Moyes, it was the manager's fault. Under Van Gaal, it was the manager's fault. Under Mourinho, it was the manager's fault. And under Solskjaer, it proved to be the manager's fault, apparently.
I think, in fairness, I think under Moyes, it was the manager's fault.
There comes a point where we need to look at some of these players.
Yeah.
And just go, are you actually good enough to play at the level that we expect to be playing at?
You've got like a trifecta of issues as well. You've got a broken defence, you're thin up front, which is unbelievable to say with Ronaldo and Cavani up front, but you're thin up front. And poor leadership from Maguire. He's not a captain.
No.
And it's like that is like that perfect trifecta of issues that no manager, unless you completely wipe out the squad or give some players a serious kick up the arse, no manager will fix that overnight. None.
This is...
Whoever we get in the summer has got to be... It sounds awful because like we've said it under almost every other manager we've had, but they've got to be given 5 years, four at a minimum, but 5 years, and they've got to be backed to buy the players that they want and ship out the players that they want to ship out. And it's got to be done. And no matter where we finish, how we perform over the first 3 to 4 years, we have, as fans and as a board and the whole club in general, just got to go, it is your baby. Do what you need to do with it. We will back you. Yeah. We will support you. And we will just see what happens. And until that happens, we're stuck.
Well, we wouldn't be in this shape now and be the club that we are now, I genuinely believe it, if we'd given Moyes the time that he deserved.
Yeah.
Because the thing with Moyes was he was brought in, United had the ability then to show the wider footballing world that actually we're not all just going to come in and sack our managers when it goes wrong. After Ferguson, they could have just kept Moyes on for a while, like, and then backed him a little bit more. I mean, the only player they got him was Fellaini. They couldn't even buy Leighton Baines. That's the issue.
It's the age-old tale of the Premier League, though, isn't it? You know, look at Spurs. We've had the same issue up until now. They don't want to give the managers long enough to do anything, or don't want to give them the reign to do anything with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unreal. It's just the amount of clubs. Like, clubs need to be careful because there's big name clubs here. Manchester United, Spurs, they're two huge, huge clubs in Europe.
Mm.
And they're going to get the reputation of clubs who will fire managers quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Then who's going to want to go there?
Yeah, exactly. And then basically what it becomes is that both these clubs become Watford, but with money.
Mm.
You know? And it's just... what happens then is that also, this is exactly what's happening at United now. Not so much at Spurs, you haven't got it at Spurs as bad as United have, but at United, what that also attracts is players who know, I'll go there, earn a load of money, and it won't be my fault.
You definitely don't get that manager, at Spurs.
They sack managers. They sack managers easily. Do you know what I mean? This is the thing. If I was a player, I'd be like, well, I could go to United and I might not win anything, but I'll get a 5-year deal and they'll pay me more money than most other clubs would.
Yeah.
And if it does go wrong, they always sack the manager. So I'll never get the blame anyway.
Whereas Daniel Levy pays his managers in coupons.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to swear and set Luke Goff, and I don't mean to, but like the only club that have got that right of sort of bring in a manager, do well, sack him, bring in another manager, do well, sack him, is Chelsea.
Oh, for fuck's sake, mate.
Luke's walked out, he's left.
they have done well up to a point. That point was Frank Lampard. They got to the point where they hired a man that didn't manage to get out of the Championship. Like he wasn't like he just won the league. He didn't get out of the league at all. And Chelsea took him on. Ludicrous to see. But yeah, no, I do agree. Like the issue that I have is that there is still the players aren't performing. They're either not intelligent enough to understand the instructions or
which it could be in fairness.
It could be.
Yeah. But if the structure changes to different types of football and they still don't get it, then what's going on? And why are these players then going to other clubs and performing well? I don't get it.
To be fair, I saw a lovely little Neil Warnock quote and it made me think of United straight away. And it's, I don't think we've got a discipline problem. It's the players who are thick who are causing the problem. And that is the summary of United. It's the players who are thick.
What you need at that club is you need someone to come in and just go, you're a bunch of dickheads. Just do as I tell you. Yeah. Just do as I tell you. And that also could mean someone on the pitch. I think that's where a squad lacks now. I think they need someone who's going to come in to that dressing room and not sit in the corner quietly and get into the atmosphere at the club. He's just going to come in and just be like, I don't fucking care if you like me or not.
I need to do a job. Throw a boot at someone's head.
Roy Keane. Look at Roy Keane. Imagine if you had a Roy Keane style player that you could sign, put in the United dressing room, just go, right, you sort them out.
Yeah. Lock the door.
Yeah. Just peak, like absolute peak level Roy Keane. It's been like, I'm going to be the best player on that pitch. And if you don't pull your weight, I will scream at you on the pitch.
Maybe that's what they need to do. Maybe United just need to get Keane back on roster and half time of every game, just lock them in there with him for 15 minutes and then see what happens.
What I think would be really good is if we've got a manager who has got a little bit about him, which Ten Hag does seem to have.
Yeah.
If he's backed, but then they have that player who's going to just come into the dressing room. You know, you've all got you. We haven't got a team of leaders in any way. Like, there's a couple. McTominay, I would suggest, is one. I would suggest Bruno Fernandes is one, which, given half the chance, would be a good leader to have. But none of them are necessarily fiery players. This is why that Gattuso quote. he's an actual football manager, Gennaro Gattuso. He's a football manager. Yeah, he's in the quote that. Where he calls every modern footballer an idiot and he hates them. He said it wouldn't happen. Like going on about when I lost the game, I'd get back in the dressing room and I'd be in bits. They get in the dressing room, post a selfie on their Instagram. He's like, I hate them.
Yeah.
He's not going to put up with some of that, the United team.
No.
Ronaldo slapped a phone out of the kid's hand. Just twatted it right out the hand. I don't understand why people seem to have an issue with the reaction to it. What he did was disgusting. Don't act like that. Like, just don't. It doesn't matter if you're a cleaner or a world, you know, a multi-millionaire footballer. Don't act a dick. That's yeah. If we all just went out our day and just went, right, I'm not going to act like a dick today, the world would be so much better. Don't be a dick. He was a dick.
That's my philosophy across the board with like everything, though. It's just like, yeah. just don't be a dick.
I have seen though since, to be fair, because I saw that and I was like, oh, Ronaldo, come on. Like you said, don't be a fucking dick.
Yeah.
But I've seen a video of the kid and with audio, and he's basically like, wanker, right in his face.
God bless
him. Flipping him off, like properly going at him. And he, yeah, like, credit to the men being like, oh, my poor son was attacked. Like, this video is like, no, he's been a right little tosser.
Yeah.
Probably deserved it.
This is the other side of the coin, isn't it, where you just think, that kid, like, I mean, fair play to him. He's, like, fair play to him.
They're he's in... got free United tickets from it as well.
Haven't they?
I feel sorry for him now. Now Ronaldo's always... come out and gone, come and watch United. They've gone, oh, bless him.
Yeah. It's horrific. Imagine that. He's already had his phone smashed. You don't want to be put...
Don't punish him anymore.
Hasn't he suffered
enough? Come to Old Trafford for 90 minutes. It'll be a laugh.
They're locking people in at Old Trafford now just so that we got a crowd. That's what's happening. That wasn't Ronaldo having a strop. That was him recruiting.
Oh, dear.
Oh, right. Arsenal. Let's cheer ourselves up, shall we?
This podcast has really been a deluge of awfulness when it comes to football, hasn't it?
Well, what's happened is somehow you two have seen a running order with me on the podcast that involves Manchester City, Liverpool, Arsenal, and United being shit and gone, yeah, that'll be fine.
We've balanced it all wrong because last week we had too much positivity. It was like Spurs, yeah. Nottingham Forest. Like, it was all too good. And now this week we're like, oh, everyone's shit.
Yeah, it's just back in. It's just back in. We've literally, we took, even the greatness of City Liverpool wasn't enough to pick the mood of this podcast up. Not even that. Arsenal, realistically, do you think that's the top four gone for Arsenal? Or is it too soon to predict anyone falling out of the top four that's not United?
I don't think it's gone, personally. Mainly because there's probably one thing between Arsenal and fourth place, and that's likely to be Spurs.
Hmm.
And as much of a good form we're on, it's also Spurs. Matt Doherty obviously being injured is going to be a big blow. We were just saying the other day what a massive part of that team he is at the moment. Problem for me with Arsenal is they have a systematic problem with negativity and heads dropping.
Oh, yeah.
They lose one game and that's it. And it's like they can't get themselves out of it. Whereas, you know, like we said the other day, Chelsea, we all said after that Brentford loss, Tuchel will get them. We have no doubt they'll be back on this next week. You just can't see that with Arsenal. They've got a real, real issue, a heads down attitude. But I don't know. I don't think it's quite done for them yet. I'm enjoying this the struggle though. It's like watching Arsenal and United go for fourth place right now. It's like putting a moth in front of a pane of glass and a light the other side and just watching them bash their heads against it constantly over and over and over again, and they're never going to learn.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Once I was out with my dad and he bought me a balloon. I was a little kid, a little kid holding a balloon. And, yeah, that's and the balloon slipped out my hand and it went off into the air. And I grasped at it and I was jumping trying to reach it. But I was tiny and this balloon was already gone. And I'm still jumping trying to reach it. And my dad put his hand on my shoulder and just calmly went, "It's gone, son." That's what being...
That's Arsenal right now. And the top four is just floating off carefully.
Arsenal fans still going, oh, we can still get the top four. I literally just want to put my hand on their shoulder.
It's gone. It's gone. Have you seen them running though? Like, even if you, like,
yeah,
just pragmatically, like, it's gone, I think.
Yeah, well, they've still got Chelsea, they've still got Spurs, well, they've still got
yeah, Southampton, Chelsea. West Ham. They've got a guaranteed 3 points on the 23rd of April.
Yeah.
Playing us.
That's good, something to look forward to, Arsenal fans.
They could, West Ham, do you not Leeds, think so?
Spurs, you know,
do you so... not think though, with Southampton this weekend, Southampton on a very poor run.
Yeah.
That maybe they get some points there. Maybe nope. They get some points there and then a little bit of positivity. No, because they're not going to beat Chelsea, are they?
More than likely to happen, because it's Arsenal and this is just how they do things. They will lose to Southampton because Southampton are hurting after that result. Like, all the 9-0s were coming out with Southampton on the weekend. All the 9-0s. We all heard them all. It's like, they literally, if I was a Southampton fan, I'd be like, it's not happening again. Surely, not a third time in 3 years. And it's such an Arsenal thing to do, to rock up to that team, somehow lose it, like 2-1, after taking an early lead. They take an early lead, Southampton win 2-1. Probably Broya scoring, because he's a Chelsea player, just to rub it in that even little bit more. And then they play Chelsea and beat them.
Yeah.
Or get like a draw or something. They get a result and the Arsenal fans go, oh my God. Oh my
this
God.
Is it.
And then they just know it's gone. So.
A gust of wind blows that balloon slightly down within touch and reach, but oh no, it's this. Then a pigeon flies into it and smashes it off anyway.
It's gone. It's just gone. It's such an Arsenal thing to do.
But, yeah, we'll see.
But, you know, I mean, they've still got, it's fine margins. They were played. They could have got a goal back on the weekend. Martinelli had one ruled out. It's fine margins. Maybe if that one does stand, maybe they go on and they play a bit better football. It's probably not all doom and gloom. But, you know, it's Arsenal. So it's nice to think that it is doom and gloom.
I think the biggest thing for me is that they had all those games, 3 in hand at one point.
Mm.
And they've absolutely wasted it. Because that's huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Three in hand at this point in the season is huge.
They could have been well above, you know, where they are right now.
Yeah.
And they'd have left United in the dirt. They can't get away. They're so bad, they can't even pull away from us.
People weren't even talking about Spurs in top four a month ago. No. It wasn't a discussion. It was like Spurs have fluffed it again. And somehow Arsenal have fluffed it more to give us a chance.
Yeah.
That's how big of a turnaround this is. Let's see what they do. They've still got the one in hand. Let's hope Southampton can pull out a result, because that would be amazing. That would really be the cherry on the cake that's been being a Spurs fan the last 4 weeks.
Imagine that. God, imagine if they lose to Southampton. Nath, do you see it turning around this season for Arsenal, or do you think it's another stop, try again?
I don't think they can get top four. I think the top four is the top four at the moment. Like City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Spurs. But I think they have got the right manager in Arteta.
Yeah, he's decent. I do quite like Arteta. I quite like the cut of his proverbial jib.
Yeah. So I think, again, it comes back, but to the right summer signings and the right players in.
It's all so cyclical, isn't it? It's depressing now, is it? As a football fan, when your club has got nothing left to play for in March, it's depressing. It's just like, oh, right, let's just go to the summer and then hope begins again. And then it gets dashed on the new year rocks and then we're back to square one. You know? Do you know someone, his name's been mentioned this week, the man that would turn around Arsenal, who can't now because he's decided to retire, although I do not believe it. I personally wouldn't be shocked if Warnock's Watford manager next season. I'm just saying.
I'd fancy a tenner on that. That'd be good odds.
I'm telling you, he's retired. Roy Hodgson is probably the Watford are probably getting relegated. Roy Hodgson is there. Roy Hodgson are basically retired. And they tempted him out to have one last crack of staying in the Premier League. It may not have worked. He's going to go back off and enjoy his retirement. Watford are going to go, oh, we need to get up. And they're going to have a look around and they're like, we've sacked everyone. And you're like, not quite everyone. Not quite. Now, you cannot sack this man because he may attack you. You try it. But he'll probably get you into the Premier League. But the second he gets you into the Premier League, sack him and employ someone else because he's not keeping you there. He will get you relegated, but he'll get you in there.
What a man.
Neil Bloody Warnock is one of my favourite footballing people of all time. Like, football needs characters like Neil Warnock. Having him at Cardiff City was glorious. Like, absolutely glorious. Getting City promoted, knowing it was going to go to shit, but not really caring.
That's when you know you've got a proper character, because you're just like, I don't care what happens at this point. He's just a hell of a guy.
He deserved a chance in the Premier League because he got Cardiff up.
I think one of my favourite footballing memories is when he turned to Malky Mackay. I think it was the FA Cup. Quarters, semis, I can't remember. After, he turned to Malky Mackay and just said, keep your pecker up. And he was like, Malky didn't know what to say, what to do. He's just like, what is this guy telling me? I'm so confused.
I can't remember one of my favourite Warnock stories. I can't remember what club he was managing, but they went away for like a training, like weekend or so. They went away for training. And they suggested that there was a night, they were going to have a team night out, a team bonding session. So all of them were going to go do something as a team. And he took them bowling, only to when they turn up at the lanes, he got out personalised bowling shoes and a personal bowling ball because he was like really good at bowling. After he'd convinced them to put like 100 quid in a kit each. So he got like this little whip around for Scott. He'll be good, lads. He'll be good. Whoever gets to high school. And he pulls out a personalised bowling ball.
Oh, dear.
Football needs more Neil Warnocks. But yeah, I'm telling you, tenor on him being Watford manager next season.
There we are. Tips for all the listeners.
There you go. So we've established tonight that Arsenal are going to take an early 1-0 lead against Southampton and then lose. And then they're going to get the minimum a draw against Chelsea. We've predicted that.
Yeah.
Spurs are, what did Cassie say? Spurs are definitely going to win the league title. I'm sure you you said that.
Watch this space.
Nathan thinks United is just a cunning plan by Ronaldo because he just really wants to win the Conference League. This is the only way he sees how. I enjoyed that. Thank you very much to everyone. BBC produced Nathan.
Thank you very much.
There you go. And thank you very much, Proper Lush.
Thank you. See you next week. Maybe.
Hi, this is the Blender Coach, and you're listening to a Touchline Rant's latest podcast, Back of the Net.
This podcast is a Bendy Geddig Media production.